You're listening to a Dom and Jeremy podcast. Your boys in the morning on Mix 100.
So I'm reading a story yesterday. The headline is pretty simple. The headline just says 32% of people say they're unhappy at their current job. So I wanted to dive into that just a little bit more. Sometimes I wonder if we irritate people when we talk about how we like our jobs.
I would think so, yes, especially if you are, when you're waking up and you're going, oh God, what am I doing? And then you have
32%.
To hear us.
Yeah, right. And we're all happy. Hey, love coming to work.
We love Mondays.
You're like, screw you guys. 32% seems like a huge number to me. And sometimes I wonder if somebody's just mildly disappointed with like a coworker, or if somebody's like a little tired of the commute that they have to make, if that all gets lumped into people saying they're unhappy with their job. Because truly, if one out of three people don't like their job, that means every one of you listening right now, if you work in an office, a third of those people don't want to be there.
Well,
That is...
make a loop. You know, when you are in the office, make a loop and look at people's faces.
What do we have, like 50 people here at Slapshot Broadcasting?
Something like that now, yeah.
Roughly? So that would be essentially 16 people that we work with.
I would agree with it then.
Man.
I would agree with it.
Dang.
I know.
They but, say
you
know, overall,
you talk about those little things, but doesn't that just kind of consume you then? You know, even if it is your commute or just that one coworker, it's going to consume you, even if your job is great.
Well, you need some meditation then.
Make it like a high, make a high, ho.
Something like that.
Just learn to deal with it.
They say overall, job satisfaction has decreased 35% in the past year. But now, haven't more and more people been working from home?
Sure, and you would think that that would make things a lot better for you. But yes, yeah. And then there's cases where, yes, it's even harder for you to work at home than working in an office because you are juggling a husband or a wife and kids and school and...
Pets.
I don't know, man.
17% of people admitted they will need help in adjusting to returning to the office. That's almost 1 in 5. When I get back to the office, I'm going to need help adjusting.
I think we will be rusty, just like we talked about the pilots that were rusty yesterday for flying, because they're not flying as many people around. We will be rusty on office behavior, I think, when we get back.
How so to you're dress. Gonna say, so office etiquette is what's going to be difficult.
Very much so.
Hmm.
Very much so. Because you're going to have to filter what you say, because you can no longer turn your video and audio off and say what you want. I saw a funny meme that said we're going to all have to relearn how to hold in our gas when we finally get back out into the workforce.
Okay.
You know, because we're all just sitting at home letting it rip. It's going to be a big adjustment. It really will be after a year. Come on.
I wonder if the year that for some people who have been working more from home, I wonder if it has caused job dissatisfaction simply because they know it's not a permanent situation, that they are going to be going back to an office, and now they've become a little bit spoiled to the fact staying in their jammies all day. And so they're dissatisfied with their job because it's going to make them get up, get dressed, and take a shower.
I know a few people that are kind of trying to, get a bunch of their other employees together and really fight now and make suggestions that they make this a permanent thing, or at least, 3 days a week or something from here on out, because they've proven that it works. So now they just have to convince management to keep it going. It's like, let's just keep it going. It's working. This is great. I have a buddy who was in a job. Just miserable, Dom. And every time I would see him, just down in the dumps, depressed, wasn't sleeping, wasn't eating right. And if you're in that situation, it is all-consuming. And he just got a new job about a week ago, and I saw him again. Mm-hmm. It's like, who are you, man? Completely different person.
Suddenly he's Mr.
Sunshine. So happy, he's out walking his dog. He's, how you doing? He's really happy. And I'm like, good for you, man. Because that was weighing him down big time.
Look, there's no doubt that we are careers.
Very much.
Whether it's the job itself, whether it's the income, whether it's the components of the job, like the commute or the people you work
with. Are you getting recognized enough?
Or how challenged do you feel?
Yeah.
I mean, we tie a lot of our self-worth and our happiness to that kind of stuff. You know, and then there's the whole thing when you start, you know, talking to kids, especially like middle school and high school, you know, about, you know, what they might plan for themselves. Now, I don't think you should be asking kids who are in the seventh grade what they want to do with their life.
They don't know yet.
I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I almost get viscerally angry when I hear about students who are taking certain tests in seventh or eighth grade and being told what they should like point their career toward. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody writing in with, you know, being all pissed off and everything like that. But I understand, sure, they might have an aptitude for something in the seventh grade. But I have verbally had conversations with young people who said, well, I was told that I'm really good at this, so I guess I have to do that. In other words, they're resigned to the fact that some test that they took put them in a box and said, you need to do this with your life.
That's what they have to do then. That's sad.
I'm not saying this happens everywhere and with all kids, but it happens
enough. Sure, it might work.
I'm like, this, how ridiculous that in seventh grade, they have to start decide. There are people who are 25 who aren't really sure what they want to do with their life. And I think then you're starting to get a little bit past the stage where you should have.
Then you maybe want to take that test.
There's a sweet spot, I think, between 12 years old and 25 where you damn well better figure something out. But even so, I mean, there are people who are 50 who change their careers and get off into something that, you know, makes them, brings them unbridled joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fantastic. Like, have you had any talks with Reed, who's going to turn 10 in just a few months?
Not a lot. I mean, as a parent, you kind of see things that pique their interest and things that they're into, so you kind of steer them that direction. And I
like
think
the
it's,
bugs. His
it's,
love of
it's
bugs.
The bugs, the science-y stuff. You know, we're trying new things. We're trying sports. We're trying instruments, hoping something, you know, kind of hooks him. But we really haven't sat down and said, what do you want to do with your life? Because you need to know now. I think he's too young. You know what's funny? The other day, actually, a conversation came up because we were out for a ride. We just were getting out of the house, and we passed the prison there in Lake. Is that Lakewood there at what is that?
Yeah.
Kipling and Quincy.
Yeah, it's over by the golf course.
It's the big couple prisons over there, and
it's by Foothills Golf Course. I know which one you're talking about. I used to play that course.
It's the big prison. And then the questions from Reed started coming up. It's like, what is that place? How did those people get in there? And, you know, do they get to go outside? Blah, blah, blah. And actually, that started a conversation about education and doing the right things and finding a career. And he had so many questions about how do you get into prison? And the conversations from us were like, no, this is how you stay out of prison. And you were like, as we drove by, because he's in basketball right now, he's like, but they're outside playing basketball. We're like, well, yeah.
Oh, no.
I was like, yes, they get to go outside. Yes, they play basketball.
But hi, this is my son, Reed. He's 10. He longs to be in prison.
He can make some wicked three-pointers. Can you let him in? But yeah, that, I think that has been the latest conversation lately of, you know, working hard, doing the right things, being a good human.
You know, for years I ran a nonprofit foundation that worked with middle school kids. And one of the messages that I used to give is the whole thing about education. It's you know, I think people misunderstand the goal of education. And really, to me, the goal of education is to help kids have choices. Because the less serious they take their education, the more they blow it off, okay, then the amount of options you have to do things with your life decreases. It gets narrow.
Sure does.
You know, because if you have no education, there's you're kind of shoehorned into a very few options in life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you take your education seriously and you have broad interests and you stay curious and you're always learning, your options are vast and they're wide, and it allows you to choose more from the things that, you know, you could do. And that's what I always used to get so depressed seeing young people who would blow off their education, because I thought, you're not leaving yourself a lot of options, you know, in just a few years.
Correct.
Yeah. Because you want to be the cool kid right now.
Yeah. And your resume is not going to be that strong.
You're going to pay the price for that later on. And it's really hard to get kids, because kids can't see 5 minutes.
You can't.
I'm not knocking
thing.
Children. They're wired that way. They can't see 5 minutes down the road. And so, just to me, it's all about having options so that you can find something that brings you happiness. Mm-hmm. You have many choices. And I'm now off my soapbox
getting ready to play commercials. Dom, I'm going to get Dom wound up. That's why I recommend a communications degree.
Shut up!
So many options.
No, there's not.
So many options.
There's like none.
Google it. There's about 500 things you can do with a communications degree. I'm going to tell you right now, Dom's a smart dude. He preaches a lot of truth. That if this is where we cross paths, get a communications degree.
Okay, whatever.
Future things.